98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Coyotes GM John Chyka on now with Doug and Wolf.
You can see the game tonight by stopping by. They're at home against the Sharks, 8 o'clock faceoff, or you can listen right here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. The general manager of the Coyotes, John Chyka, has just called in on the Coulter Automotive Group sports line. John, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, guys. Doing well. How are you?
Good. We're doing great, Johnny. Really appreciate your time. How in the world are you still in the playoff hunt when you've lost your starting goaltender, how many centermen, and the blue? How are you still in this thing?
Yeah, I'm proud of the guys. To date, it's the coaching staff doing a good job, having everyone prepared and on the same page, or, guys stepping up and playing bigger roles, or guys coming up from Tucson and doing great things for us. You know, we're finding a way to win some games right now and playing some meaningful games here and playing well. So it's been a good stretch and good to see for our organization battling through some adversity.
I tell you, before the trip, you get 4 points on the Western Canada trip, you got to be really happy. I tell you, you're going to lose 7-1. You probably don't talk to me for a while. What? How do you rate the Western Canada trip?
Oh, it was a good trip. Guys played hard. Guys played really well. Vancouver went in. I don't think we had our A game necessarily, but we played hard and found a way to win. And then in Edmonton, I thought gritty win. Guys played extremely well, skated hard, played the right way, and played the best structure we could and found a way to win that game. And to be honest, the Calgary game, it's tough to evaluate. I thought, the first period, we had one empty net, one off the crossbar, one off the post, another grade A chance on a backdoor play that Mike Smith made a nice save on. And then, we gave up one goal we'd like to have back and one kind of scramble. We're down 2-0. It could have been 2-0 for us, going into the second period. So, I think if you look at the chances in that game, they're basically even up early in the game when we're down 2-3-0, chances were basically even. So those games happen. I think Aiden Hill's a great young goalie. I think it's new experience for him going to his hometown and that he wanted to play well and didn't have the result he'd like. So, I think the score didn't really indicate our level of play, but the guys are playing well right now. 4-6 on the road trip there is a good trip. And now we come home, we got San Jose, Pittsburgh, and we go up to Toronto. That's three good teams. It's going to be a good test.
Johnny, on that note right there, what happened to Aiden Hill? Was it just a confidence issue with him?
No. I think he came in, did a nice job for us. He really showed that, he'd go out and play against the Nashvilles and the San Jose's and some of these top teams and find ways to win games for us. So he's a young goalie, he's the youngest goalie in the league. For us, we're trying to develop him to be a starting goalie. And the only way to do that is to go out and play games. And he's got to play a bulk of games, sitting up here and playing once every 10th game or 10th day. That's not what our long-term view is at the best path for Aiden Hill. So he played well. He had some things that, we still think he can work on and improve his game at. And the only way to do that is to get reps and reps in practice and reps in games. And we felt like for now the best opportunity for his development long term is down in Tucson for the time being. But again, he's just down the road here. And if we need him, he's available to come back up.
John Chyka joining Doug and Wolf, GM, Arizona Coyotes. And stay on that if you would, because I this is a question out of sheer ignorance. I don't know the process, but if Aiden or any player is going back to their hometown for their first time, for their first game in the hometown, and I think I remember Tyson Nash saying on the broadcast that you had something like he had like 50 tickets or something obnoxious, how many tickets he was getting. Do you guys work really hard on that to handle it for him? Does the agent work hard on that? How does a guy keep his emotions in check when he's got the entire family tree at the game for the first time?
Yeah, we try to do as best we can to try to manage it for him. Unfortunately, there's an element of being first time back home, and you have a million people reaching out to you, and a lot of these people have supported you and been there for you as you come up. So, again, if the player needs tickets or logistics of it, we're certainly at the forefront of trying to take the load off of any player so that they can just go up and play. But, ultimately, I think that first one back is a lot, and there's a lot of people there, and it's a it's a difficult day in a lot of ways, but also a very special one. Mm-hmm. So, you know, again, I think there's instances where we could have defended a little harder, or, you know, the mistakes we did make were bigger mistakes, and that led to some grade A chances against. But, you know, overall, it's back-to-back against a very good team. And, you know, we didn't get the result we wanted, but we got 4-6 in the road, and it was a positive trip for everybody.
About a week ago, you acquired Jordan Wheel from the Flyers. What have you seen from him so far?
You know, he's been good. He's a talented right shot centerman that can make plays through the middle of the ice. And he's a smart player, a guy you can play with some other skilled players, and he can think off of them and make plays. So, you know, he's just a guy that we thought was a good buy low candidate. Obviously, having Schmaltz, Richardson, Dvorak out down the middle, you know, we wanted to do something to help our group up through the middle of the ice, and just felt that, you know, he's a good bet. He's a guy that was UFA a few years ago at a young age, and had a lot of teams that were, you know, really interested in him, and just hasn't found his way in Philly. So hoping to change the scenery and, you know, a different opportunity here with a different staff can help get his career to the next level. But an intriguing guy, and I'm interested, you know, now that he's kind of got his feet on the ground and he's understood how we play and the things we want to do, hopefully he can go out there and just play and be a productive, helpful player for us.
Weird road trip, because if you just look at your schedule, it just looks obnoxious that you are going to be on the road for six straight games. But with the All-Star break in between there, is that going to make this easier? Is it something, oh my gosh, I can't imagine that you're going to play, what, Pittsburgh on Friday night, and your next home game feels like it's halfway through February. How do you like this little portion of the schedule?
Well, it's unique. We've never had a 10-day break, so this year they had the bye week coincide with the All-Star break. So you get that long break. You know, I think it's new for everybody. So we'll see how it works out across the league. You know, I like this setup better than having, you know, the All-Star break 1 week and then play for a week and then have a bye week. You know, that really broke it up and, you know, was difficult to manage as a team and as a staff. So, you know, we'll see how this goes here, but yeah, it helps break up a road trip for us. So in that sense, it should be helpful.
Yeah.
How are Christian Dvorak, Jason Demers, and Michael Grabner progressing?
Yeah, you know, they're all somewhat difficult. I mean, each guy's got their own unique injury, but really, I mean, you know, Demers, again, he was kind of doubtful to come back for the season. You know, there's a chance he might come back, but if he does, it'd be closer to the end of the season. So he hopefully will be skating here at some point in the near future, and that'll help us get a better understanding of how he's progressing. Christian Dvorak, you know, he's skating, but still not yet ready to join full practice. So again, it was one of those injuries where it looked like probably the season, but there's a chance he could be back for a portion of games here. And then, you know, Grabner's really a guy that's just, you know, you're waiting to see how things progress. And, you know, again, today he can skate. That's not the issue. He's out skating. That's the positive. I think his body and his legs are all in a good spot, and we're just waiting for his vision to get to a point where, you know, you feel comfortable that you put him in a good enough spot to go out and play hockey. So in that sense, it's a unique injury, and no one really has an exact timeline. You know, it'll come as it comes, and we'll continue to adjust and adapt our schedule based off of, you know, how his vision progresses. But right now there's really no update on it.
Do you ever see a guy score with his face?
You know, I've seen guys take it off the face and not score, so the fact that it went in the net, I think, is a positive for him.
Yeah, it is. That's
just, man, incredible,
that toughness,
man.
Right,
really
there. Then he scores again. That was fantastic. Good to talk to you. Thanks for your time, John.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate
it. Thank you,
John Chyka joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Coulter on Camelback.com, CoulterNissan.com, and CoulterTempe.com is the place to go for your next new or pre-owned car. Archie Bradley, did he just cryptically tell us something that we weren't sure about? Diamondbacks news next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. I'll play this game. Right now, it's been liked 178 times and counting. And we need to give you what's happened.
Hey! Retweet this. Presented by Sanderson Ford.
at Archie Bradley 7 has just tweeted out a picture.
Doom.
Archie Bradley slapping 5 with John Ryan Murphy. Both guys are signed up for 2019 for the Arizona Diamondbacks. And then the caption he's put with the picture says, closing time, with a warning emoji.
Oh.
The yellow triangle with the exclamation point.
Okay, closing time with the warning emoji. What the... What does that mean? Does that mean warning, Will Robinson? This could go badly.
No.
No, he does not mean that. So what does he mean?
I don't
warning
know.
To anybody I'm going to face.
I can't guarantee you I know what it means, but I think that he just got official word. Not that he didn't probably know that they're telling him going into spring training or going into the season until you lose it, the closing job is yours.
Yes. Well, apparently... Of course, you knew this was coming, right? You just knew it was coming. Closing time, ladies and gentlemen. The Diamondbacks, of course, a non-tendered Brad Boxberger, as we all know. So you could see this coming a mile away, right? It's been a little anticlimactic, I think. I think most of us believed that Archie Bradley was going to be the closer for the Diamondbacks in 2019, correct?
Yeah.
Little anticlimactic, maybe. Although the warning emoji is interesting. You could possibly read that in a number of different ways. Not the least of which, I would say, is warning to anybody that's going to face me. Warning, this could get a little sideways. I think you're right on that. I doubt that was his meaning right there. Arch, by the way, I thought I had your number. I do not. Text me, please. Somebody get us Archie Bradley. How about that, Mel? I'm sorry. Maloney, can you actually jump on that? Can you get Archie Bradley and see if he's available? We're going to send out the bat signal for Archie Bradley. That's what we have to do.
This is closing time.
See, I'm not a... Who actually does this, by the way? Is this like... Three Doors Down or something like that?
No, it's semi-sonic.
Semi-sonic. Krunk!
No, it's not. Krunk.
Is
it weird that it makes me think of Dave Burns?
Why does this make you think of David Charles?
Where have you been all this time?
What do you mean?
There used to be a moment in your life that you were a broadcaster on a station called Sports 620 KTAR.
Yeah. And 15 years ago.
And the end of the day, there would be a show called the 620 Sports Line, hosted by Dave Burns. And whenever the show ended...
How do you
always,
remember this?
I like Dave.
I listen to Dave. Look at Bears getting all into it now.
Bears trying to jam to this, which is kind of weird.
Yeah, trying to jam to it right there. Grab your best girl, ladies and gentlemen. Go out there and dance to this song. You're done. It's just not going to work. You can't look cool dancing to closing time. Now, there are songs out there you definitely can bust it up and you can look cool or really, really bad. All right, but
if we're talking
this
about
is not
you,
one of them.
If we're talking about you, there are no songs that make you look
so
good.
What are your thoughts on this right here? To me, it's kind of expected, anticlimactic for the most part. Hopefully, he's going to continue to work on a second pitch, because I think we all understand what's going to happen to Arch if he doesn't. Not just going to throw the ball by everybody 100 miles an hour. It's not going to work.
It is tough, because for most relievers, really short relievers, the curveball is not a pitch that you always have a great feel for coming out of the bullpen. So normally that's why you see a lot of closers where they are either fastball and split, fastball change, fastball and slider, because those you get a feel for a lot faster and it comes off your fastball.
Yeah.
Well, the curveball isn't something you really throw off the fastball necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
It's, of course, if you're not expecting it, it shocks you, but it'll be weird. It'll be interesting to see if Archie goes with that and stays with the curve or if he develop something else. For me, the big story here is just how much the game is going, is swaying back and forth between analytics and between old school and now the complete merging, because this is a very analytic group of people that run the Arizona Diamondbacks. And yet, as we've mentioned before, Mike Hazen, minor league baseball player, Jared Porter, college baseball and college hockey, what are they doing here? They're acknowledging the fact that this team needs a bullpen leader. Whether Brad Boxberger was good or not, there was so much less mojo coming out of that bullpen last year. And your closer is the de facto leader of the group.
Yeah.
He's the guy. So since your closer's the guy, if Brad Boxberger's your guy, there's just not a lot of life there.
Yeah.
And Archie, being the alpha male kind of guy, I think the end of the year, his confidence went down. The bullpen's confidence went down. They were overtaxed. I think this is exactly what it should be. But it is interesting because it's acknowledging that it's no longer, hey, the seventh inning looks like the worst inning of this game. Go get Archie. It's now get these last three outs.
Yes. You know what? Speaking of that right there, it's time for a dramatic read, isn't it?
And now, Ron Wolfley's Dramatic Read.
That dramatic read, hashtag dramatic read, sponsored by nobody, beloved by everybody. No, today's dramatic read is read by Suns fans watching the referees officiate last night's game. How doth thou suckest? Let thine count the ways. Thou suckest buttermilk in the morning. Thou suckest buttermilk in the evening. Thou suckest. Thou suckest. I don't think that Archie Bradley is going to suck buttermilk at all at closer, as a matter of fact, ladies and gentlemen. This seems like the natural fit for him. If, in fact, going into last season, you told me that Archie Bradley was going to be the closer for the Arizona Diamondbacks, I would have said, you know what, honestly, yeah, let's go for it. I don't think that was going to be a surprise. It was a surprise. They brought in Brad Boxberger as a closer, and they put Archie in as the setup guy, right? The silver bullet. The guy that was going to face in late innings, the Andrew Miller, if you will, the guy that was going to face the heart of the order for the other team late in the game. That made perfect sense to me, too.
Just got a text here from Archie Bradley, and it says, sure, no problem. Be glad to come on, but I just heard Wolf's dramatic read, so I'll go on with Bickley and Murata.
Yeah, I doubt it.
Okay, I made that up. Yeah. Join Burns and Gambo tomorrow as they broadcast live from the 48th Annual Barrett Jackson Collector Car Auction at Westworld of Scottsdale. You can check out more 1,700 rare and exotic cars up for auction, eat and drink from the 40-plus vendors on site, and much, much more. Head to the events page at arizonasports.com for details and info on tickets. Sorry for all the times we've gone somewhere and there was only much more going on, and now this is, we got much, much more going on. We'll try to pick it up and have more muches. The Cardinals continue to fill out their staff. Now, who is the offensive coordinator going to be? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Time to take a look at the Arizona Sports poll question. Brought to you by Sanderson Ford. The best play is at Sanderson Ford.
Bring it, Maloney.
Which part of this upcoming offseason is more important for the Cardinals? 55% say free agency, 45% say the draft.
Man,
how many say both?
I'm a draft guy. I admit that's a very fair number. It's because you look at how bad the holes are at certain positions, namely O-line, and the amount of and wide receiver, and the amount of money the Cardinals have to do something about it. But when you're you got the number one pick in the draft, and the assumption that the holes are big enough that you trade it, I'm going to go draft. And plus, the draft is so much of a bigger process. Who does what at the Senior Bowl? One thing I have not heard, and I need to find this out. the Cardinals will have the option of coaching in the senior bowl, of putting, and some people will say don't do it because you want to have all of your time spent kind of generating things together or working on things, coaching your coaches. I'm thinking the exact opposite. What a perfect opportunity for two things to have the coaching staff go down there. And if you, and if you're a Cardinals fan and you already know this, and it's one of those things where I've never looked up. So normally I look up something before I just blurt it out, and now I'm just blurting out without looking it up.
Blurted.
But if they're coaching in the Senior Bowl, you get all of these coaches to work together for the first time and to see how they do on the field, kind of evaluate each other, and it's a gold mine for your personnel staff because now Steve Keim actually gets to sit in a room and watch whether or not this quarterback is picking up the offense that's being installed. You know, and you get to watch guys and how they handle it, and then you're going into having the number one pick in the draft or you're trading it. Like, it's one thing, I wouldn't trade that pick before the Senior Bowl because I'm going to make sure I'm there in all of its capacity. I hate to admit it, but you earned this being this horrible. Take it for all it's worth.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see the way this coaching staff actually does come together, because I can promise you right now, when you haven't worked with a guy, you haven't had exposure to somebody, and you're sitting in a room, you're going to have some disagreements. There's no doubt about that. The way you want to skin a cat, metaphorically speaking, boy, that's awful. Maloney's going to look at me right now. But, you know, the way you want to do it, somebody else might actually want to do it a different way, right? So, and if you don't do it the way one person wants it, they're always going to hold on to that and say, well, that's not the way we did it in Denver. That's not the way we did it in Denver. And it's wrong. So now all of a sudden you have to have coaches buy in, let alone player buy-in. Don't get me started on the players buying it. Do your job, period. Coaches, that is their job, to sit there and argue that stuff. Players, do your job.
But not only that, if you're there coaching these kids up, you might find out holes in your own knowledge. I mean, here we go. Here's the head coach, Cliff Kingsbury, trying to coach his coaches on what he wants to have done. His coaches trying to say, this is what we can do in the NFL, merging the two, and now you get to test all of it. And I don't mean you get to see if you win or beat the other team in a Senior Bowl, real. But I just mean you're standing in front of your receivers in the receivers room. Are you coaching it the way Cliff Kingsbury wants it coached?
Yeah. You know, Douglas, honestly, it's fascinating, but I find it more fascinating, David Johnson, and how you're going to run the ball with David Johnson in this offense going forward, right? It is fascinating to me they got Sean Kugler as their offensive line coach, a guy that is heavily, a guy that leans towards the Pittsburgh Steelers and how they run the ball, was the Pittsburgh Steelers offensive line coach for 3 years. And then you go out and get James Saxon. James Saxon, the Steelers running back coach, who's been Lev Bell's coach for 4 years, where Lev Bell went to the Pro Bowl three of those 4 years, and now all of a sudden you've got Dirty Dave. How are you going to run the ball? They're going to run the ball like the Pittsburgh Steelers, ladies and gentlemen. That's what they're going to do. Lev Bell and Dirty Dave, they're very, very similar, their running styles. And Dirty already has been in this kind of rushing attack, generally speaking. Isn't that right, Bruce Arians? And you would imagine that Cliff Kingsbury is going to get him the ball in space. The whole premise of the air raid offense is what? To get the ball to guys who can score. David Johnson is one of the guys who can score on every play. This is really exciting times for me personally. This is the ultimate example of Cliff Kingsbury's hire. Do you bring your offense here and your concepts here? And do you turn David Johnson into a space ranger to the degree in which he needs to be? Get him the ball in space. But how you're going to run the ball, that's going to be the chung. That's going to be the base. It's going to look like how the Steelers ran the ball with Lev Bell, Ron Wolfley reporting. It's amazing. The offensive coordinator is an important role on this staff. It's just not as important on this one, because you've got Cliff Kingsbury, who's going to be the play caller, who's got an awful lot of concepts and ideas that he wants to install in this new offense. And then you brought in a guy like Sean Kugler and James Saxon, the offensive line coach and the running back coach. They work very, very closely for the most part. Many times, not all the time, but many times, they'll come together and say, this is how we want to block this front. offensive coordinator, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. This is the way we want to do it. You're telling us this is the play we're going to run. Fine. We'll tell you this is the way we want to block it. Not you. I'll tell. It's not all the time, but a lot of the time. You'll have the offensive line coach and the running back coach, and they will tell you this is how we're going to protect. We're going to go with a 7-man slide protection. Here's how we're going to do it. Okay, there's not a lot of 7-man slide protections anymore, but they're still out there. Okay, you want to go with gap protection? 6-man gap protection? This is how we're going to do it. The running back coach and the offensive line coach, they work very, very closely on that. That's why I don't want to say the offensive coordinator is unimportant. It's wrong. It's wrong-headed to say that, but it's just not as important on this staff as it would be somewhere else.
Thank God you're not on the Cardinals staff.
What do you mean? Why?
You just did the worst sales job ever for John DeFilippo to take the job.
Can you imagine if Jim Bob Cooter's driving around trying to get to know Phoenix?
Jim Bob Cooter's driving around all right, I guarantee it.
He's thinking about becoming the Cardinals offensive coordinator, and he just heard that?
He's driving around in his 69 Cuda, Jim Bob Cooter. Just a horrible, stereotype.
Don't we want to get a good coach? And yet you are sitting there yelling at Jim Bob Cooter. Hey, honestly, out of all the options you have as an offensive coordinator, this is the one that you'll be the least important here.
Honestly, do we think Jim Bob Cooter grew up in Manhattan? Anyone here believe that? I'm sorry. I realize it's a stereotype, Jim Bob. And I'm not making fun of you. I'm dirt poor country is what I am. All right? I'm just telling you right now. I grew up on a dead-end street at the bottom of a hill. A dead-end street at the bottom of a hill that actually had a path that went back to a gravel pit.
I have.
In a rich town. How dirty I was.
If you care, I have been to his hometown where he was from.
Okay, where is it?
Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Okay, how is it there now, Fayetteville?
Just a small place, Lincoln County.
I guarantee you, now we're going to go on a Friday night. We're going, hey!
No, you can't say that!
Of course you
We've
can.
We've discussed this before.
It's not.
Yes.
It's not the S word.
It's
just, don't you agree?
No, it's not.
Hey!
Bring 5 or more non-perishable food items to Talking Stick Resort Arena on January 22nd, and you'll receive 2 tickets to the Suns T-Wolves game that night. Text HUNGER to 62620 for complete details on the Fry's Food Stores and Phoenix Suns Zero Hunger game benefiting Phoenix Suns charities. That's text HUNGER to 620620.
No.
Thank goodness that's over.
Pulse Call is hot and cold as he takes the temperature of this show. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Paul's Call is brought to you by Brooklyn Betting. Stop into one of their 20 Valley locations or online at brooklynbetting.com. Brooklyn Betting, helping you sleep better.
Hey, it's your call, man.
Oh, no. It's your call.
I got to get out to the auction.
Hey, nitwits. It's Paul's Call.
Well, because it can always get worse, it does.
Okay, just jump right into my nightmare. The water is warm.
Guess who?
Guess what day it is?
Guess who is now that guy?
Keep it fair! Are you kidding me?
You know, in the past, that guy rhymed with fat guy.
Fat guy in little coat.
But now,
genius.
That guy is this guy?
But give me a break!
Which sounds a lot like this guy.
Go ahead, Malloy!
You know, you know the guy. The whining about the officials guy.
Brutal!
We've got enough of those guys already in this town.
That's terrible. That is
horrendous.
Yes, it is.
You know, if you're sitting courtside, that's one thing.
That's a terrible call by the official, and then the other official follows it up with a worse call.
We got to take a break here.
That's right, Kempton. Just give us a break
last
from the...
Last night was awful.
You know. I mean, whatever happened, Doug, to having the mental fortitude of playing through the officiating by playing so well that the bad calls by the bad refs, you know what? Yeah, ultimately, it just doesn't matter because you're playing so well out there.
Oh, that's a hose job right there.
Now, everyone...
See, that's the problem. You haven't been hosed.
Everyone just openly gripes and grouses.
Personally, I think we got hosed on that call.
Wolf, the Suns were down by 37. The officiating did not matter.
That's why it you can't was, take this out of context.
It was not a factor.
I realize you got a bunch of young names and a bunch of young guys and you don't know who they are and you're blowing the whistle because they're the Suns.
Okay, everyone just cease and desist.
Yes.
You gotta be joking.
Dave, you.
Are you kidding me?
Tim Healy, you. I mean, just can we all look past the zebras?
Inside.
Oh,
no
my.
Call. He's hammered and knocked to the floor. And there's no call.
At this point, I'd actually prefer if Al and Tim just went back to ripping me.
Paul Calvisi is what he is. Okay. You know, he's never That's played right. anything.
Wow.
But you want to see bad refs, Paul, just watch a Grand Canyon game. Oh, my God.
Kempton said I better play that if I'm going to rip him. He's got to keep it fair around here. So, you know what, though? We pack, Kempton. Lusano shotgun of sports!
Oh!
Sports takes and the rule book in every direction.
The rules have to be enforced.
The rules are fair.
I mean, are you insinuating that, like, Tim Donaghy is still officiating?
Keep it fair. Keep it fair.
I mean, you know, what are you insinuating? The refs are, you know.
Fishy.
They're biased.
Wolf, they're not dirty. They're not biased. They're not corrupt. They're just inept.
It didn't flip. It didn't flip.
Right. Oh, my goodness. Cleat. This is unreal.
His head. Swat the ball.
There's your ref.
Try to do that.
By the way, there's your ref for the AFC Championship game.
Flip a coin without flipping it.
Yeah. It's
false start. Yeah. Everybody but the center.
Yeah. Remember that call from the Cardinals Seahawks game? False start on everyone except the center. I mean, last month, Doug, Kevin Durant took, what, 4 or 5 steps out of bounds? And then
they
let him save the ball on the baseline. Then remember.
Did you know how far out of bounds you were?
Oh, yeah.
Could you believe you didn't get the whistle?
I could believe it because the refs been missing a lot of that tonight.
Right.
So you can easily fool them.
Right.
Have you seen the video?
Yeah.
He believes it because, quote, you can easily fool them.
They were absolutely pathetic.
Yeah. I mean, how about last night? Check this one out. Bulls. We got Bulls of the Lakers last night. I'm going to play this clip from WGN. You listen to the background and there's a fan. The officials are stopping play. They're messing up, you know, just the flow of the game. And
now they're having an issue with the clock.
It's really messed up. Man.
Guy in the crowd.
The fan in the background says you're over officiating, you're holding down the score, and you're keeping us from getting tacos. Once again,
now they're having an issue with the clock.
It's really messed up. Man. It's trying to stop us from getting tacos.
I mean, actually, you know what? If everyone else is whining, can I get some music, please?
No, Paul.
You look at these NFL playoff games, and it's hashtag Bart Scott.
See you in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
All right, me too. Love playoff football.
Love Paul's call.
Oh, no.
Love it.
Sorry, wrong cut. Should have been love playoff football.
Playoffs?
Except for one big thing.
You kidding me? Playoffs?
The weather this time of year.
It'll be a little chilly, and that's okay. I mean, we're at that time of the year, and yeah, you go play.
Andy Reid yesterday, quote, a little chilly.
Do you want to build a snowman?
An Arctic blast is coming.
Our paralyzing, crippling, record-breaking storm comes today!
We're talking temps are going to plunge below zero.
Blowing and drifting!
It's going to be Arctic. Tracking Doug, you former KC guy, to be the coldest game in the history of Arrowhead.
And it's cold as hell out here.
Yeah,
like extremely cold.
Julian Edelman.
I don't think you're ever accustomed to it. You know, it's harder. The ball's hard. It's slick.
These cold weather games, they gotta go.
I've had it with these snakes on this plane.
We are so done.
Check, please.
Are we deciding who's the better team?
I am number one.
Or are we deciding who's the better all-weather team?
The cold never bothered me anyway.
No, it bothers me. The winning team won't be the team that beats the opponent. It'll be the team that beats the elements.
That's just dumb.
And you're like, oh, you know, home field advantage, Calvisi, it's something you earn. Well, guess what? It's too much of an advantage when the weather's like that.
0.0.
0.
That'll be the high temp on Sunday for the AFC Championship game. This ain't football. This is just survival. And it's not us being soft.
Wiener schnitzel. Yeah,
it's the integrity of the game, man.
Fishy, fishy. Oh.
You think it'd be any different in Boston?
If you want NFL playoffs on ice, then just put football in the Winter Olympics.
The Iceman cometh.
Until then, Calvisi Consulting, the Pauly Pigskin Division, we declare we need these conference championship games in warm weather, neutral sites.
Do you understand?
You know, 245 Park Avenue, they love revenue streams. Just go ahead and just put it out. And look, the winner of this game isn't going to be the better team. It'll be the better all-weather team, and we're sick of it. Sleeps.
Paul sleeps.
Big man,
wrap it's it time off, once again for No Comprendo.
Actually, we basically have no time for this story whatsoever.
No.
And so I'm going to have to end this by saying the following. It's good to see our guy in the news. Former Berkeley Bear and former Cardinal Lorenzo Alexander signing the line that is dotted today.
So he's already on the list. I don't care if he hears this. Number 97. I really don't know his name.
That's right. The list lives, doesn't it? He's still looking for 97.
And he better bring his lunch.
That's
because
right.
Because I'm bringing it.
97 is like Zoe's white whale.
That's awesome.
Call me Ishmael. That's right. He's out there like Melville looking for 97. At some point, he'll get him. Ah, ball's goal.
Thank you, Paul.
How did the show make you feel?
Woo!
Doug and Wolf's.
It's all about the you. It's all about
the you. Brought to you by Carol Royce. If you want to learn how to sell your house for top dollar, go to CarolHasTheBuyers.com.
My big takeaway from today's show is the fact that Ron Wolfley went on an 8-minute rant to explain the offensive coordinator position for the Cardinals is not important. 4 minutes later, Ian Rappaport is reporting that John DeFilippo has accepted the OC job with the Jaguars.
Mm.
Good job, Wolf. Good job, Wolf. He was probably here in town.
Well, that's all right. That means Jim Bob Cooter coming.
You've got Patrick Mahomes, the most dynamic thing to happen in the NFL in how long, and the dude's going to have frostbite on his throwing hand. Just get it over with and get these games out of cold weather sights.
Driving our celestial car to the center of the football universe on the front bumper, Basinonians, peace and strength.
Turn the headlights on.
But to be the man, you got to beat the man. And I'm saying, woo, right here.